Or if he said that she'd mixed up the batter for him, would he refuse to eat the pancakes, spit out the coffee? He cooked 3 pancakes and flipped them onto a plate for Luca. Feet pounded down the steps, and Sarah burst into the kitchen. She jabbered something in German that made both Luca and Hannah leap for the door. "What's wrong?" Matt asked, running after them. But when he reached the door, he needed no translation. "The barn's on fire." He grabbed his cell phone and dialed 911. By the time he jammed his phone back into his belt, Luca was dragging a hose toward the barn. Flames were beginning to shoot through the roof. "The horses!" Splashing through the puddles left by last night's rain, Hannah ran toward the barn. Matt sprang after her. "Hannah, no!" But she paid him no attention. Shoving open the door, she disappeared into the black smoke billowing from the opening. The air from the open door fueled the fire, and the flame shot higher through the roof, as if straining to torch a few lazy clouds passing by. Lucas sprayed the water onto the barn, but the flames just danced higher. Matt reached the billowing smoke, and the harsh heat struck his lungs. He coughed and plunged into the darkness of the superheated barn. "Hannah!" he shouted, still coughing. It was like an image of hell. Flames and smoke billowed around him, the fire eating up the dry tinder of the old barn. Horses screamed, and he leaped in the direction of the sound. He burst through what seemed to be a wall of flames into an area the fire hadn't reached. Hannah hadn't noticed him. She fought to control an Appaloosa who reared in terror. 2 other horses bucked and snorted in the pen behind her. He ran to the other horses and entered the pen. Grabbing their halters, he led them out. "Hannah, this way!" he screamed over the roar of the flames. On the wall behind him, he saw something that made him gasp in more smoke. A broken cross had been painted on the wall in red paint above her head. Had she seen it? She turned toward him, dragging the horse with her. She started in his direction. He plunged through the way he'd come. Sprinkles of water dotted his face, and he blessed Luca for continuing to focus the water toward where it was most needed. It was all he could do to keep hold of the horses. They bucked and whinnied, but he dragged them toward the barn door, past the fire devouring everything in its path. Then he was out. He released the horses and turned to go back to help Hannah, but she was behind him. Her clothes were blackened, and so was her face. A flicker of flame caught his attention. "Your skirt is on fire!" He leaped at her and bored her to the ground. She thrashed and fought him. "Lay still!" He scooped dirt onto her, then batted at the flames with his bare hands. He considered tearing her skirt from her, but one last roll and the flames were gone. Her skirt was seriously mangled, but she was alive. He helped her up. They probably both smelled of soot. "Are you okay?" he whispered. He cupped her face in his hands. Even streaks of soot couldn't mar her beauty. He had almost lost her. He kissed her, and she showed no signs of wanting to pull away. "Your poor hands." She lifted one to her lips and kissed it. "It doesn't hurt." He looked down at the torn and burned flesh. It would hurt like the dickens when the adrenaline wore off. With his arm around her, they stood and watched the roof crash in. Luca had given up the fight with a hose now that they and the horses had reached safety. By the time the volunteer fire department arrived, the barn was nothing more than a smoldering pile of rubble. They walked back toward the house and let the firemen do their job of extinguishing the embers. Luca and Sarah followed with the girls and Angie. No one had much to say. Such a traumatic event had left them drained, and it was no accident. They had to be told. Matt reached the front door and opened it. "Could you send the children inside for a minute?" Luca shot him a quick glance, then gave the girls a short order in German. They scampered past Matt into the house. He shut the door behind them. Sarah stepped closer to Luca, as if for courage. "I don't think this was an accident," Matt said. Hannah put her hand to her mouth. "You saw the symbol?" She shuddered and clutched her arms around herself.
"Yep.
On the wall."
"What symbol?"
Luca asked.
"I saw nothing." "The broken cross, or Nero's cross, or whatever you want to call it. The same one that was on the wall in the house when the Schwartzes were murdered. Someone painted it in red inside the barn. And I smelled kerosene."
"We keep kerosene for our lanterns and such," Sarah put in. "The heat could have caused a container to explode."
"It looked like an arsonist burn pattern," Matt said. a row of flames where the accelerant had been poured. Someone torched your barn. The fireman will confirm it, I'm afraid. He had no doubt about it. He would tell the fire chief what he'd seen and smelled.
Who?
Hannah asked.
Reese?
Her voice was hoarse from smoke and elation. Tears pooled in her eyes and slid down her cheeks, leaving streaks in the soot.
That would be my guess. He's trying to force you to go back to him. What better way than to target your loved ones? Box you into a corner.
Angie put her arm around Hannah. Well, he can't have her. Exactly Matt's sentiments. The only problem was he hadn't figured out how he was going to keep her for himself once she knew the truth. They'd missed her aunt's funeral, and Hannah never got to say goodbye. Tears burned the back of her throat as she glanced out over the collapsed barn. The shrill chirp of her cell phone was as unwelcome as the smell of smoke in her hair. She knew who it had to be. She pulled out her cell phone and looked at the caller ID. Reese's number. She didn't want to talk to him, but she forced herself to lift the phone to her ear.
Reese, how could you burn down the barn?
I didn't burn down the barn. I saw it was on fire, so I'm just calling to make sure you're all right. Why do you always suspect me first?
Your track record speaks volumes, she said. I don't believe you,
but his denial was so earnest. I know how much you love your horse. Lucy, isn't it? Is she okay?
Hannah closed her eyes briefly. Did she dare believe him?
If you didn't torch the barn, who did? The Nero's cross symbol was painted on the barn.
The phone fell silent in her hand. She couldn't even hear him breathing.
Reese?
I'm here.
His words were clipped. Angry.
I think I know who did it. But it wasn't me. You have to believe me.
Hannah found herself nodding. She could hear the truth in his voice. If not him, then who?
How did you get the baby here, after I fell down the steps?
Aw, hon, don't hash up all that. Isn't it enough to know she's okay and we can get her back?
It would have taken at least 6 hours to drive from Wabash to here and back. I thought you were with me the whole time.
He sighed.
I guess it doesn't matter anymore. One of my drinking buddies helped me. That's all you have to know.
Hannah curled her fingers into her palms so tightly her nails bit into the flesh. Her heart pounded against her ribs as she imagined that wild ride in the dead of night with a crying baby. A daughter crying for her mommy. A baby who had been ripped from loving arms and placed in another home. Did her baby know she was adopted?
Hannah, you there, hon?
Hannah couldn't choke out a sound. She closed her phone and turned it off. By noonday, buggies packed the driveway and yard and lined the road leading to the house. Their Amish friends came bearing food, shovels, and other tools to begin clearing away the debris as best they could with the intermittent downpours of rain. Dump trucks from various businesses they owned began to appear to haul away the wreckage. By breakfast the next day, much of the heap had been cleared and lumber began to arrive. Helpful Amish swarmed over the farm like busy ants, intent on doing good. Hannah had watched this scene play out many times, but her heart always warmed at the generosity of her people.
I thought I would make coffee soup for breakfast, Sarah said.
What?
Angie gave a shudder. It's good. Hannah's mouth watered at the thought. She'll pour coffee over saltines or bread. I like it best with saltines, then pour on milk and sugar. Wait until you try it.
I can wait. It sounds nasty. I like my coffee in a cup with cream and sugar.
It's better than it sounds. Hannah accepted the first bowl of coffee soup and carried it into the living room. The Amish flooding into the house jabbered in a mixture of German and English, and the familiarity brought her childhood flooding back. Mom always fixed coffee soup for her birthday. She could still remember the first time she'd been allowed to have it. On her fifth birthday, she finished the coffee, milk, and crackers that made up the soup and asked for more. Her mother had obliged. The caffeine had kept Hannah chattering to her mother far into the night. Even Angie admitted the coffee soup was pretty good. Hannah finished her food and pulled out her last quilt square.
Angie put down her word processor, and her dark eyes studied Hannah.
I shudder to say anything, but should I just call your editor and tell her you're not going to make it?
I don't see any way I'm going to get it done in time. The quilt still needs to be assembled, and all the quilting done. Ask her if she'd be willing to use my grandmother's quilt, the big one, on Irene's bed.
That won't work. She wants one of your designs. I'll just tell her you'll make your original deadline.
Sarah came to the door. Don't do that. The women will be here in a few minutes to do it.
Hannah's head came up to snare Sarah's gaze.
I don't understand.
Why would they help me?
Because I asked them to.
Sarah held Hannah's mother's keepsake box in her hands. I am going to confess at the next meeting.
Hannah waited to hear what Sarah meant. They'd been through enough already. She didn't want to drag Sarah into more turmoil.
I took the ring, Hannah. I'm so sorry. Can you forgive me?
Hannah's needle stilled in her hands.
You took my mother's ring?
Why?
Wasn't it bad enough that her family had been stripped from her? Did Sarah and Luca have to begrudge her small mementos?
She tried to keep her anger in check, but her foot began to tap restlessly.
It was worth a great deal of money, she said. When we were engaged, Luca talked of nothing but expanding the greenhouse, of what he could do once he saved enough. I had nothing but love. I was here cleaning after the murders, and I found it. It did no one any good in that box. I thought your mother would have wanted it to be used for something worthy. I sold it. I told Luca it was my dowry, and he never asked where the money came from.
I see, Hannah said. You had no right.
Hannah had looked at the ring many times. It belonged to her. Her mother would have wanted her to have it.
I know.
Can you forgive me?
Sarah asked again, advancing into the room.
I'm so sorry, Hannah. I judged you when I should have judged myself. Maybe I didn't want you to expose what I'd done.
Hannah wanted to hold on to her anger. Does Luca know?
Sarah sniffed. Not yet. I'll tell him tonight. I wanted to beg your forgiveness first.
You lied to him. Won't he be angry?
I have to be honest, Sarah. I'm angry. And I'm hurt.
Hannah found lies the hardest to forgive. They struck at the core of any trusting relationship, and since Reese, trust came hard to her. The lies about the ring had slipped off Sarah's tongue all too easily.
Yes, but he loves me. He will forgive me.
Can you get the ring back?
I really want it, Sarah.
Sarah's eyes clouded.
I'm sure it's been sold by now. You haven't said if you forgive me.
Hannah tried to struggle past the anger that still simmered. Sarah had no right to sell her mother's ring. It was easy for Sarah to ask for forgiveness. She was the thief. But saying, I'm sorry, wouldn't bring the ring back to Hannah. It was one thing to ask for forgiveness, but could Sarah extend it as easily as she asked for it?
Sarah, what would you do if you'd married a husband who beat you? She asked.
She thought her friend would answer quickly and tersely, but she kept silent and pondered the question.
I don't know,
Sarah said after Hannah began to think she wouldn't answer at all. I would not want my girls to see such a thing. I would not want to experience anything like that. I hope I would try to love the violence out of him.
Some people can't be loved enough, Hannah said.
I tried. Reese was too far gone.
Not for God,
Sarah said quickly.
But I'm not God, Hannah said,
and I did my best.
But had she?
She'd been quick to slip out to sales to look for quilts in spite of his orders. Had she ever put him first? She'd been so lonely in the early months, so ill-equipped for marriage. At least half the blame was probably hers. Sarah put her hand on Hannah's shoulder.
I'm not going to judge you, Hannah. I don't know what shoes you've walked in.
She released her and went to pull out the quilting frame.
Now, let's get your quilt finished. The others are coming. We can talk later. But please, I so want your forgiveness.
The hard coil of bitterness began to unwind in Hannah's heart at the desperate plea in Sarah's voice.
I forgive you.
She said the words, not knowing if she meant them. Hannah heard them then, women talking and laughing as they poured into the house with their needles and thimbles. Thunder rolled and rain swept the windows all afternoon, but none of them minded. By supper time, the quilt was finished, and Hannah knew love never died. It just sometimes went underground. Matt had never seen anything like the busyness going on outside 2 days after the fire. Sunday had been the Amish day of rest, but they tackled the job with gusto on Monday. No wonder Hannah missed the warmth and love of these people. He turned to work on the pancakes he was making for the crowd, eating at tables outside. "We'll have a new barn up by the weekend, if the rain holds off," Lucas said over breakfast. When the tornado struck southern Indiana a few years ago, Amish friends from all over had the mess cleaned up and barns rebuilt in a couple of weeks. "I believe it," Matt said. "The storm coming through here over the next few days is supposed to be ferocious, with heavy rains and flooding." Hannah stood beside him as he worked. His movements were awkward because of his burned hands. "Hannah?" He spoke too softly for anyone but her to hear. "I checked on the cemeteries in Wabash. No luck." She inhaled softly. "Thanks for checking. It is as I suspected. He told me one of his drinking buddies brought my daughter here and gave her away." More of Reese's lies? A grave would have proved his daughter wasn't hers, but Matt's hope had faded fast over the past week. His cell phone rang as he poured more batter into the skillet. Hannah tried to take the spatula from him, but Lucas shook his head and took his place instead. Matt shrugged and glanced at the caller ID. His grandmother's name rolled across the screen. "Hey, Trudy," he said. He noticed he had missed two calls this morning. Must have been when he was in the shower. Her voice was at a near shriek. "I can't find Caitlin." "Wait, I don't understand. Caitlin is at your house?" "Gina dropped her off this morning for a few hours. Said she had something she had to take care of. She said she'd call you to come get her. I fixed Caitlin's breakfast, and when I called her to come eat, I couldn't find her. I've looked everywhere." For the rest of his life, Matt would remember how this moment felt, the way his blood seemed to freeze in his veins, then pulse to his feet, leaving his vision swimming. Time slowed to a standstill. He could hear the oil sizzling, Luca clearing his throat, Hannah sipping her coffee. Every muscle in his throat spasmed, and he couldn't force out a word. With a supreme effort, Matt got his tongue to work. "Trudy, calm down. Stand back. Think this through." It was up to him to rescue his daughter. What would he do if he got a call about a missing child? "When did you see her last?" "She was coloring on the porch about half an hour ago." "When did you notice she was missing?" He was aware of Luca and Hannah looking at him with wide eyes. "I called her for breakfast. When she didn't come, I yelled again, then went to the porch. I couldn't find her anywhere. She's not in the barn either." Matt forced himself not to react, to hold his composure. "I'll be right there. I'll call headquarters." He turned his back on the Schwartzes and called Captain Sturgis. He promised to send out a deputy to meet him at his grandmother's. When Matt slipped his phone onto his belt, he turned to face Hannah and Luca. "My daughter's missing. I've got to go." Hannah put her hand to her mouth. "I'll come with you." He needed all the help he could get. Caitlin needed to be found quickly. She was more important than his reputation with Hannah. "Thanks. I will come also," Luca said. "Will you drive us?" "I'll get Angie, too. We'll round up other friends to help search. Maybe she wandered off." Matt's eyes burned unexpectedly. He'd heard about the way the Amish rallied around folks in need, even those who weren't part of their church. But this was the first time he'd seen it firsthand. "Thanks," he mumbled, unable to get out more than that. Hannah sprang for the steps. "Angie, Sarah, come now. We need to help look for Matt's 5-year-old daughter." Hearing the words spoken out loud by someone else was almost as painful as hearing them the first time. A missing child. Every parent's nightmare. He had been on the other end a time or two, the deputy talking to parents in such a situation. He should have been more compassionate, more sympathetic. Now he knew what it was like to hear the world shatter in a moment.
focus. He had to focus. The others can follow in Angie's car. I need to go now, he told Luca. He called Ajax, and the dog came running.
I'm ready.
The other man grabbed his black hat and slapped it over his Dutch boy haircut. Luca followed Matt to the SUV. Hannah rushed to join them.
Angie will bring Sarah and any others with her.
She got in the front seat with him, and Luca got in the back with the dog. The tires shrieked in protest when Matt tromped on the gas pedal. It echoed the scream building in his own head, a babbling plea begging God to spare his baby girl. Hannah tried to talk to him, to pray with him, but the words didn't penetrate the pain blocking out all the coherent thought. He knew he should confess everything, but he couldn't get his mouth to work. The clouds released a burst of heavy rain. Matt barreled through the downpour to his grandmother's. As he pulled in the drive, he heard the sound of a siren screaming toward them. Never before had he experienced the way that familiar sound could seem so ominous, a harbinger of personal, devastating pain. He slammed on the brakes and hurtled from the vehicle into the driving rain. The last time he'd seen her, Caitlin had come running to meet him. Taking the steps in one leap, he flung open the door and rushed into the house. His grandmother was wrapping sandwiches in the kitchen. "You'll need these," she said, thrusting a bag of food into his hand. As if he could think about eating until his daughter was safe in his arms. He took the bag but put it on the counter. Was she upset this morning?
Yes. She said she wanted to go home.
Trudy's voice held censure. She stared at Hannah, then glanced at Matt. Her gaze lingered on Luca, standing by the door with his hat in his hands.
What are you thinking to bring one of them here?
Matt didn't have time for her prejudices. Ajax pressed his nose against his leg and whined. Matt swallowed his turmoil. He had to focus. Car door slammed, and moments later a fist pounded on the door.
"Sheriff's Department?"
Blake called.
"Come on in," Matt yelled.
Blake and another deputy joined them in the kitchen.
"You okay, buddy?"
Blake asked.
"Caitlin's gone," he told the deputies. "Could she have run away?"
"Maybe." He could only hope and pray that was what had happened, and he'd find her dragging her backpack along the road. People around here were decent people. Maybe one would stop and help. The thought of his daughter in this storm was too much to bear. Matt stepped onto the porch where the toys lay. Her backpack was here, too. So much for hoping she'd run off to find him. Ajax went to the pack and whined. Matt wished he could do the same. The wind blew rain onto the porch and droplets pummeled him. Hannah followed him. She didn't take her backpack of toys. If she was running away, wouldn't she take that?
That would be my guess.
How long has she been here?
My sister brought her this morning.
Gina was probably one of the calls he missed. He'd been too upset to listen to her message, but he'd better. What if someone took Caitlin and left a message?
I had some messages.
He pulled out his cell phone and called up his voicemail. Both were from Gina, saying she was going to talk to Vanessa. She asked him to go get Caitlin from Trudy's. He put his cell phone away and glanced at Hannah. Confession trembled on his tongue, but nothing would be gained by causing that uproar now. It would only take the focus off finding his daughter. He made himself go through her backpack. It contained only her doll, Jenny, and the doll's clothing.
If someone took her, wouldn't they be likely to take her toys to keep her quiet?
Hannah asked.
Reese would.
Matt realized he had to tell the truth for law enforcement to be able to help him. He had to tell them to put out an APB for Reese, and to do that, he had to tell them why. 23. The life of the Amish is summed up with the Amish Sunshine and Shadows quilt. They are taught to accept whatever comes from God's hand, good or bad. Hannah Schwartz, in The Amish Faith Through Their Quilts. The storm battered against the house while thunder boomed overhead. Hannah gazed out across the yard at the black clouds. The porch was a little protection. The little girl surely shouldn't be out in this. She wanted to help Matt, to comfort him in some way. But she understood that nothing could bring solace but finding his little girl. Even though she still believed she might have a daughter out there,
She also believed the child was with a family that loved her. The picture had shown a happy, smiling child. Hannah had no sense that the girl was in danger, that someone might have taken her. Matt was looking at her strangely. His gaze held a plea she wasn't sure how to read, and the twist of his lips almost made her think he was defiant about something. "Is there anything I can do, Matt?" she asked, when he just stared without saying anything. "I have to show you something," he said. His voice trembled. He dug into his pocket and pulled out his wallet. Flipping through the photo section, he stopped and stared at a picture. He tugged it from its sleeve and handed it to Hannah. "This is Caitlin?" Hannah asked as she took the picture. "This is my daughter." He put the emphasis on the word "my." Such a proud and loving father. Hannah glanced at the picture and froze. The little girl smiling back at her with her arms around Ajax could have been herself at 5. Auburn ringlets cascaded down Caitlin's back, and her golden brown eyes smiled as much as her lips. Hannah's gaze traced the familiar features, the happy smile, as she looked with love at whoever was taking the picture. Probably her father. "You've had her all along," Hannah whispered. "All this time when I've been looking for her, you lied to me." It was all clear in an instant. All those times she'd asked him for help. All those times he'd listened to her fears about whether it might be true she had a daughter. He could have set her mind at ease so easily. All he would have had to say was that he had a child who looked like that. Why the lie? Unless he'd adopted her. But then he could have just said he adopted her. But maybe he didn't know who the mother was. Her thoughts jumbled wildly, nothing making sense. Matt's voice was low. "I know, and I'm sorry. It's torn me up inside. But we'll have to talk about it later. For now, we have to pull together to find her. I think Reese took her." Hannah gasped and put her hand to her mouth. "But why, if Caitlin was Matt's own child?" "But why would he take your child, unless he thought he could convince me she was mine?" The thought of that precious little girl in Reese's control made tiny beads of perspiration break out on her forehead. He raked his hand through his hair. "I didn't want to get into all this, but you have to be on board with me. We've got to get everyone looking for Reese." Matt drew a deep breath. "I think he put her on my doorstep 5 years ago. My wife and I tried for years to have a baby, but we learned she could never conceive. One night, we heard something at the door. Annalise opened it and found a baby in a carrier." "She's not yours?" The ramifications began to seep into her consciousness. Matt was still talking in a monotone. Caitlin seemed heaven sent. "With my position in the sheriff's department, we were able to pull some strings and adopt her without turning her over to Child Protective Services. The pediatrician estimated she was only hours old, not more than a day or two." "A day or two." Hannah couldn't breathe, couldn't think. Could Reese really have taken her baby and just deposited her on a doorstep? Yes, he could. He was capable of anything. She's mine? Hannah couldn't breathe for fear this might be a dream. Joy vied with terror. "I suspect so. I don't know for sure. Could she belong to someone else?" He hunched his shoulders. "Why would she be put on my doorstep?" "Reese had a connection to me." Hannah studied the photo again. "She looks just like the picture Reese sent me." Her gaze traced the smooth roundness of the child's cheeks, the gentle curve of her lips. "She's beautiful."
"Yes, she is."
Matt's voice held anguish. "We have to find her." He disappeared inside. Through the screen door, Hannah heard him telling his suspicions to the other deputies. Through a fog of confusion, she was aware they were calling for more help, putting out a warrant for Reese. With the thunder rolling over her and the lightning flashing overhead, a bubble of disbelief surrounded her. This couldn't be happening. She'd begun to love Matt, to trust him. He had proven to be no different from Reese. He wore a smiling mask that hid the true man, and now her daughter was in Reese's clutches. She shuddered. She'd tell the deputies Caitlin belonged to her. When she was found, she'd have her daughter, and she'd never have to look Matt Beitler in the face again. She rubbed her forehead. That wouldn't work. Matt had friends, connections. He had adopted Caitlin. Sorting out the mess would be no easy matter, and if Reese really had Caitlin, finding him might be impossible. She knew what she had to do. Call Reese and, to rescue Caitlin, go crawling back. Her cell phone rang. Of course. She didn't have to look at the caller ID to know who it was. In a dreamlike state, she dug it out of her purse and flipped it open. "Hello, Reese," she said, in as sweet a voice as she could muster. "I've been thinking. I want to come home."
"What?"
Reese's voice quivered. "We're attuned to one another. I was sure it was you when the phone rang. You're right. We have to work things out. I miss you."
It was as if she stood outside herself listening to her lies. God forgive her, but she had to save Caitlin.
"I'm so glad, hon."
His voice grew stronger. "And when you get here, I have a wonderful surprise for you."
A cold stone formed in her belly. He had Caitlin. An unnatural calm descended on her. She wasn't the same weak woman Reese once knew. He would find a bitter adversary, and she would protect Caitlin with her life.
"Where should we meet?" she asked in a soft and low voice that was sure to attract Reese.
"I'll pick you up at the coffee shop. Have your Angian friend drop you off and leave us alone. No tricks,"
Reese said, as though he suddenly thought she was setting a trap. Hannah didn't intend to tell anyone what she planned. The safest thing for Caitlin would be for her to go in alone, then slip out with the child the minute Reese went out to the store or to work. The problem would be that Reese might expect a lot from her until that time. A real marriage. He'd always had a strong sex drive. The thought of him touching her made bile rise in her throat, but she forced it back. She could do this. She had to do it.
"That sounds wonderful."
"What's brought about this sudden change of heart?"
Suspicion vibrated in his voice.
"Being with my family. Being back where we met. It brought all the love back."
The words nearly gagged her, but she put tenderness into them.
"I should have made sure you stayed in touch then."
He chuckled then, a self-satisfied sound.
"I've missed you. I can't wait to see you. When can you come get me?"
I've got something to take care of. Your surprise. Give me 2 hours.
"Don't be late," he said. "I'll be early," she said. She put her phone away. Somehow she had to slip away without raising suspicion. Get her things from the house. Get to the coffee shop. In a fog, she went inside and listened as Matt barked out orders. Every time he looked at her, she glanced away. In the end, it was surprisingly easy to arrange. When Angie arrived, Hannah told her she needed migraine medication and needed to run home for it. The detectives were out slogging in the mud and searching the woods behind the house for Caitlin. Hannah simply told Angie she'd be right back, then drove to the house, packed her things, and went to wait at the coffee shop with her suitcase. She bound her hair up in a bun on the back of her head, then sat at a table by the door to wait.
"Hannah?"
She looked up at the sound of a woman's voice. Ellen Long stood in the doorway. The old anger surged at the sight of the woman's face. Hannah had always believed Ellen knew more than she would admit to.
"Ellen, mind if I sit down a minute?"
Without waiting for an answer, Ellen slid into the chair across from Hannah. "I'd heard you were back in town." Hannah laced her fingers together in her lap. The woman had lost the bloom of beauty she'd had the last time Hannah had seen her. She was dressed in two tight jeans and a top that revealed ample cleavage, and her features had a hard cast.
"I've been back a couple of weeks."
"I was hoping to run into you, see how you're doing. I never got a chance to tell you how sorry I was." Ellen's words spilled out, but held not an ounce of emotion. It was as if she'd memorized them and waited for the chance to spew them out. Hannah held her tongue as her resentment grew. She had enough to worry about without listening to Ellen cry alligator tears. Ellen fidgeted when Hannah didn't reply.
"Reese stopped to see me the other day. He says you've left him."
"That's too bad." Why had Reese stopped to see Ellen? For the first time, Hannah wondered if Ellen and Reese were connected in some way. The thought hadn't crossed her mind.
"How well do you know Reese?"
Hannah asked. A secret smile flitted across Ellen's face so fast that Hannah wasn't sure it had come at all, until she saw the self-satisfied expression in the woman's eyes.
His mother introduced us.
His mother? Reese had been a foster child of Trudy's. Ellen nodded. I was taking quilting lessons from Irene Beitler. I met him there.
Irene was Reese's mother?
Hannah wanted time to process the news. He'd never told her, yet he'd told his mistress? Even Matt hadn't seemed to know. Even though Hannah longed to be free of Reese, the thought scalded her. And had an affair? Hannah could see it was true by the way Ellen looked away.
So why are you telling me this?
Her rage nearly choked her. Ellen shrugged.
I just wanted to clear the air, let you know Reese and me go back a long way. Make sure you're not longing to reconcile. I don't want to play second fiddle again.
I think Reese might have a say in that. What makes you think he wants you back? Hannah heard the roar of a truck. Glancing out the window, she saw Reese behind the steering wheel.
I'll ask him about it now.
She rose and walked past Ellen's shocked face toward the truck. Everything she thought she knew wasn't true, and she couldn't see through the deep water to the bottom. She reached the truck. When he grinned, she nearly fled, but she forced herself to return his smile and climb into the truck he was driving, one she'd never seen before. He took her cell phone and tossed it out the window. She was alone with him, and she didn't know if she'd live to see tomorrow. Rain dripped from the brim of his hat, and Matt lifted a mud-coated boot from the muck. No one had located any sign of his daughter. Even Ajax hadn't found a scent. That had to mean she'd been taken somewhere in a vehicle, and the realization made his mouth dry up. He glanced at his watch. Nearly noon. His baby girl had been gone an eternity. He had prayed all morning for God to keep her safe, to keep her from being frightened. He motioned to Blake.
I don't think she's out here. Any word on Reese?
No one has seen him. He might have ditched the truck and gotten another vehicle.
Let's call off the search out here. I'm sure he's got her.
You're probably right.
Matt and Blake tramped through the mud back to the farm. Buggies and cars lined the road as far as he could see. The Amish community had poured out to help him. He'd never look at them the same again. Matt saw them as friends now. Friends who cared. Everyone was coming back to the yard now that the search had been called off. He found himself searching for Hannah's bright head. He knew the news had rocked her hard, and it had probably ended any future they might have had. Instead, they would engage only in a long, bitter battle over Caitlin's future. His fear and deceit had ruined everything. He didn't like the person he'd become. He'd always told himself he feared nothing, but instead of trusting God to work things out, he'd run scared, told countless lies, and put his daughter in harm's way. And he'd been stupid to boot. He didn't see Angie's familiar red car. Angie stood talking to Sarah and Gina under the shelter of a giant tulip tree, but rain still dripped onto their heads. Gina rushed to him, and he embraced her.
Oh, Matt, I'm so sorry.
She was sobbing so hard she could barely talk.
A friend from church called me.
She swiped at the tears on her cheeks.
We've got to find her, Matt.
I will. I'm calling off the search in the woods, though. I think Reese has her.
A foggy disorientation muffled his thoughts, but he focused on his sister's face.
You went to confront Vanessa?
Yeah, but Blake was there, Matt, and I saw a bunch of stuff in her garage. I think she and Blake are behind the robberies in town. I just turned around and left. I'm leaving him.
Matt found no joy in discovering that his suspicions about Blake were true.
I'll tell the captain.
She put her face against his chest.
If only I hadn't brought Caitlin here.
It's not your fault, sis. If Reese has her, he could have taken her from your house just as easily.
It was his job to keep his daughter safe, and he'd blown it. He glanced around the yard again.
Where's Hannah?
Angie wrinkled her nose.
I've been wondering that myself. She left here 2 hours ago to go get some migraine meds. I thought she'd be back in 15 minutes. Maybe she had to lie down a few minutes.
Matt knew Hannah well enough by now to know she'd crawl on bleeding knees to help those she loved.
I can't see her doing that.
Something was going on, and every nerve in his body tightened in response.
Me neither, to tell you the truth. I was trying not to worry.
Angie pulled her cell phone out of the purse slung around her shoulder.
I've got a good signal here, so if she had a breakdown, she could have called me.
I hope Reese didn't find her, he said. His pulse galloped as he thought it through. If she thought Reese had Caitlin, would she go back to him?
Even before he saw Angie's face change, he knew the answer.
Of course she would, he said, in a heartbeat. He wanted to hit something. Reese would call her and taunt her with the fact that he had their daughter.
Their daughter? Angie said. Do you think it's really true?
I think so. I've got to find Hannah.
He called Ajax and ran to the SUV. In the wash of daylight, Reese looked older, harder. His hair was grayer and coarser, especially the straggly beard he'd grown. His jowl seemed softer, too, but the same hard light shone in his eyes. Hannah had to look hard for it, though. His jovial smile would have masked it completely from someone who didn't know as well as she just what he was capable of.
"You look good, hon," he said. "Take your hair down."
"Not now," she said, before she thought.
"Take it down now."
The hard tone of his voice and the way the amiable mask vanished told her to obey. Slowly, she reached up and began to pull the pins from her hair. She thought he would hide his true colors at least for a little while. His eyes spoke of a further slide into madness. When her hair lay on her shoulders, she leaned forward to grab her bag from the floor and drop the pins into it. Reese's fingers plunged into her hair and wrapped around the locks.
"No one has hair like yours.
I've told you never to wear it down for anyone else." Using her hair as leverage, he dragged her across the bench seat until she was close enough for him to release her hair and slide his arm around her. Her scalp stung, but she said nothing. He seemed calm at the moment, and she didn't dare complain. With the overpowering scent of his familiar cologne nearly asphyxiating her, Hannah's strength and courage waned. What made her think she could outwit him? Whenever she was around him, he sapped her will and determination. Her life would slide into the same old nightmare, and she would be helpless to prevent it. No, she had Caitlin to think about. The little girl needed her protection. Hannah saw no evidence of Caitlin in the vehicle. Could he have merely used the situation to bait Hannah? She prayed that was true. It would be easier to escape if she wasn't frozen with fear for her daughter.
"So where are we going?" she asked in a bright voice.
From the corner of her eye, she saw his quick glance as though he couldn't figure her out.
"You'll see. I've got a surprise for you. Things are going to be different, Hannah. You're going to obey me this time. We're going to be the model family."
"Family? Are we going to go find our daughter?"
The words nearly gagged her, but she got them out in a loving tone.
"Maybe."
"Why did you take her away from me, Reese?"
The words poured out of her in spite of her resolve not to annoy him.
"I wanted her so much."
"I didn't want to share you with anyone else. Now I see I was wrong about that."
The craftiness in his glance frightened her. He had some kind of plan, and she feared for Caitlin. Where was the little girl? Surely he hadn't left her alone somewhere.
"If she's been adopted, how can we find her and get her back?"
"You leave that up to me."
He reached a dirt road that was only wide enough to allow a single car to navigate.
"Where were you when I called?"
"At the farmhouse, working on the quilt."
The lie came too easily to her lips. What kind of Christian was she that she could smile and lie without compunction?
"Liar!"
His finger squeezed her arm hard enough to leave bruises.
"I followed you. I know you were looking for Caitlin. You know I have her. That's why you came, isn't it?"
"No."
She tried to pull away, but his grip was too tight.
"Do you have her? We thought she just wandered off into the woods. That's where Matt was looking." "How do you know Caitlin?"
She thought her subterfuge had worked when he didn't ask why she lied. But his attention was on something else. Glancing in the rearview mirror, he accelerated around the curve, then whipped the steering wheel.
"Did the detectives follow you?" he snarled.
"No, of course not. I was careful to make sure I was alone."
The truck fishtailed in the mud, then slid into a wide spot between some shrubs. Ahead was an abandoned covered bridge.
He drove over the grass toward it.
"Hang on,"
he said. His grip fell off her shoulders. This bridge had never been restored, and Hannah immediately spotted the missing planks and rotted girders. Any minute she expected the truck to plunge through the floor of the bridge and into the creek below, running deep with cold water from the storm. She'd never seen the water so high. The tires rumbled on the planks. Then Reese wrenched the wheel to the right and rode the passenger side tires up onto the side where the frame looked stronger. Hannah caught another glimpse of the water below through gaping holes in the structure of the bridge. She gripped the armrest on the door. Her pulse pounded in her head. They weren't going to make it. The openings in the bridge passed by in a dizzying blur when Reese accelerated. The light at the other end grew larger. Then the truck lurched over the last of the uneven boards. The tires found purchase in the rocky dirt at the other end and gave the truck traction through the last few feet. Reese guided the truck to a stop in the shelter of underbrush.
"Lost them," he said, with a smug grin.
"I never saw anyone." He stretched his arm across the top of the battered bench seat.
"You haven't kissed me yet, Hannah. That will tell me how sincere you are."
Her stomach roiled. How could she cover her revulsion? She'd known it might come to this. The distance between her lips and his wary smile seemed as vast as the Pacific Ocean. Her muscles froze in place, pressing her back into the safety of the cracked leather seat. Any minute he would reach across the chasm and grab her. It would be all she could do not to scream. And he would know. Know she'd rather die than touch him. A siren blared in the distance. His head whipped around and he peered back through the trees.
"We'd better get going. This can wait until tonight."
Somehow she would have to find a way to get Caitlin to safety before then. 24. Religious services are held every other Sunday in a different home. Each family takes a turn hosting the congregation. It adds to the sense of community. Hannah Schwartz in The Amish Faith Through Their Quilts. Matt saw Angie's car parked outside the coffee shop and breathed a sigh of relief at the sight of it. But why would Hannah stop to get coffee and spend hours there? The panic came again, and he knew something was wrong. He and Ajax went to the car and peered inside. The locks were down, and the car held only a computer bag in the back, probably Angie's. Inside the coffee shop, he saw only two men with an open briefcase between them at the back table. The barista had just come on duty and hadn't seen Hannah. Not good. Matt didn't want to face the truth, but he knew it. Reese had Hannah. No doubt in his mind. But how to find them? He tried her cell phone half a dozen times, but she had it switched off. Reese had been a detective. He knew how to evade law enforcement. Chances were he had ditched his truck and gotten other wheels. Matt drove to the jail and went to his office. He checked the list of stolen vehicles. Most would likely turn up once the kids who'd taken them for joyrides sobered up. But one stood out, an old red pickup. It had been taken 2 days ago, about the time Reese would have been making his plans. Matt put out an alert for the vehicle, but it was a long shot. Several hours had already passed. Park County was only minutes from Illinois. Reese could have taken Hannah and Caitlin and crossed the state line already. He sat at the desk with his head in his hands. Think! He knew Reese well, knew his likes and dislikes, his way of looking at the world. There had to be some clue he was missing. He wanted to bang his forehead against the desk. Ajax whined and pressed his nose against Matt's leg. "I'm okay, boy." Matt rubbed the dog's ears. Reese had no family. Like Matt, he was a throwaway kid. Reese's mother had given him to Irene, who had raised him for a time. When she couldn't handle him anymore, he had gone to Trudy. She'd be sorely disappointed in Reese. Most kids who passed through her doors went on to live decent lives. Reese was fond of Irene, too. Maybe she'd have an idea where he could look. He and Ajax hopped into the SUV and drove out of town. Reese used to go see her once a week. Maybe he resumed that tradition when he returned. It couldn't hurt to run out and talk to her. She might have some idea where Matt should look. Something had happened between his grandmother and his aunt, and rather than ruffle his grandmother's feathers, he'd avoided Irene. It was just easier that way. Keeping his grandmother pleasant could be a full-time job. He rolled to a stop in front of the big old Victorian house. Irene's yellow dress was a bright splash of color against the red of the rose garden she labored in. The fact that she wore muddy Wellingtons ruined the perfect picture. Her hair was unkempt as well, and when she turned around, her gaze was foggy. It must be one of her bad days. Most days her medication held the darkness at bay, but once in a while, the fog rolled in and took her into its murky depths. He let Ajax out of the SUV, and his aunt came to meet him.
"David, what are you doing here?"
It was worse than he thought. "It's Matt, Irene, not David." Her gaze drifted away from his face and out over the fields.
"Of course it is. I should get the meadow tea in and make you some. You've always loved my meadow tea, David."
Matt gripped her shoulders and turned her to face him. "Listen to me, Aunt Irene. I need your help. Caitlin's in trouble."
"Your mother?"
"No. Caitlin, my daughter. Remember her?" He folded his arms over his chest.
"Have you seen Reese O'Connor?"
Her hazel eyes clouded.
"A few days ago. He's not a good son."
Who did she think he was talking about? When she was like this, it was almost impossible to get any sense out of her. "Did you take your medicine today?" Her hand went into her pocket and she withdrew a pill bottle.
"No medicine. All gone," she said in a sing-song voice.
"I think Reese has taken Caitlin, and maybe Hannah Schwartz," he said. She stared at him as though she'd been expecting something like this.
"Did he tell you he planned to take her?"
She wouldn't meet his gaze. She rocked on her feet, picking petals off a rose like some lovesick girl from the turn of the century. "Did he tell you?" he repeated.
"Caitlin puts me in mind of Hannah," she said. "You made me lie to Hannah the other day. She's Caitlin's mother, isn't she?"
"Yes. Look, I don't have time for this. I've got to find my daughter before he disappears with her, or hurts her."
"Reese can't be trusted. That's why I turned him out."
Matt didn't have time to try to decipher her ramblings. "I think he killed the Schwartz family, and he threw Hannah down the steps so she'd lose the baby. Only the baby didn't die, and he left Caitlin on my doorstep." She still showed no real reaction. He thought his accusation would incite her to protest or something.
"Things aren't always what they seem. Mother knows everything, sees everything, punishes everything," she said in a sing-song voice.
"Trudy knows all about it. Reese took Caitlin from her front porch. She didn't hear a thing. She didn't even know Caitlin was gone until she tried to call her for breakfast.
Mother knows. Don't worry."
He clenched his fists. "She's 5 years old. Not worry about it? We've had a doozy of a storm all morning, too." Still plucking petals, she exhibited an unnatural serenity. He wanted to rip the roses out of her hands and fling them to the ground. She would tell him what he needed to know if he had to drag her to her feet and shake it out of her.
"I've got work to do."
She tossed the flowers to the ground.
"I hope you find her."
He blocked her path. Where would Reese take her? Her eyes cleared, and he saw sharp intelligence gleaming in their depths. She shook her head.
"This isn't about Reese, David. It goes much deeper than that, much further back. You'd better start with Mother."
"You're not making any sense. Trudy doesn't know anything about this."
"No?"
She smiled, a grimace that only made her eyes look sadder.
"Everything that goes around comes around. This evil goes on and on. I think there's no end to it, at least none that I can see."
"Start with the truth."
"The truth? It depends on how you look at it."
Matt couldn't make heads or tails out of her babbling. He jerked his thumb toward the SUV. "Let's go," he told Ajax. "There's no help for us here." He'd do what she said. Go talk to his grandmother. Just in case he'd missed something. He had to find his daughter. The urgency rumbled in his chest like thunder. But he took the time to call Gina and asked her to go check on Irene and make sure she got her meds. Reese hunched over the wheel as the truck zoomed along at breakneck speed. He had said nothing for the last 15 minutes. Hannah huddled on her side of the seat.
"Where are we going?"
"You'll see." Some of the area looked familiar. She vaguely remembered picnicking once at the top of the hillside the truck climbed. This part of Park County had steep hills and hidden ravines. It had been all their horses could do to pull the buggy up here.
Those were happy days, filled with love, discipline, and godly training. She hadn't appreciated it fully at the time. The truck left the gravel road and turned down a cow path, a faint depression in the grass that led through a break in the raspberry bushes. She thought they might be taking a back way into Turkey Run State Park. The truck bogged down in mud several times, but Reese managed to power it on through. Vegetation brushed against the side of the vehicle and tore at the side mirrors. The trees blotted out the light, and the thick foliage made it as cool and dark as midnight, cocooning them from the world. The tires rumbled over fallen logs and muddy ruts in the ground before coming to a rest in a small clearing. A cliff covered with vines and weeds loomed over them, blotting out even more light.
"Honey, we're home," Reese said.
His chuckle fell flat. "Where are we, Reese?" Hannah didn't want to get out of the truck. Menace coated the air.
"You'll see. Hop out, hon."
He got out and removed her suitcase from the back. Hannah shoved open her door and stepped out into the clearing. No birds sang here. A twisted tree raised dead branches into the air. No frogs croaked. No wind ruffled the leaves. And Hannah could not even hear the hum of insects. She tightened her grip on the shoulder strap of her purse.
"Now what?"
"Follow me."
He struck out along an impression of beaten down grass. Fighting his way along the base of the cliff, he held back brambles and bushes for her. The underbrush grew thicker and the silence more oppressive. Hannah wanted to turn and run for the truck. Reese seemed too smug, but Caitlin was somewhere back here, so she trudged on. In the distance, she heard the roar of rapids, probably Sugar Creek. With the heavy storms the past few days, it would be in full flood stage. The roar of the water grew louder with every step until they arrived at a battered shack on the shores of the creek. He unlocked the padlock on the door.
"Step into my parlor," he said.
"It's a sugar shack." She tried to peer in the window, but it was too dirty and fly-speckled. He grabbed her arm.
"Hurry up. We don't have all day. The kid is inside."
In a frenzy of movement, Hannah shoved open the door. An old rug had been thrown down on the floor, and inflatable furniture made it seem almost homey. A cot was on the far side of the space, and a little girl lay curled up on it with an afghan thrown over her. She appeared sound asleep. A chain dangled from one small ankle to the cot. Hannah moved to the side of the bed. Her vision narrowed and her heart galloped. She looked at the child for the first time. Her child? The unruly auburn hair, the tiny hands fisted, the shape of the toenails and feet, even the curve of her cheeks and the length of her lashes held an uncanny familiarity for her. She told herself not to let the lid off her hopes. "Is she ours, Reese?"
"Sure, hon."
Reese put his arm around her, and they stood looking at Caitlin.
"I was wrong. I know that now.
I want her, too. It will be great now that the three of us are together." Hannah wanted to move away, but she didn't dare. All these lost years. "Why did you give her to Matt?"
"I heard from Trudy about all the trouble his wife was having getting pregnant. It seemed right that someone should have her who would love her."
His tone suggested he had done something heroic, something praiseworthy. Hannah drank in the sight of her child. She wanted to touch the soft hair, kiss the round softness of Caitlin's cheek, smell the little girl scent. She wanted to pull the child onto her lap to experience her weight for the first time. She wanted to recapture every moment that had been stolen from her. The first tooth, the first word, the first stumbling step. Gone. It was all gone. Stolen, destroyed. It would never come again. She whirled and curled her fingers into fists.
"How could you, Reese? How could you destroy our family like this?"
Leaping at him, she tore at his eyes. Her hands grabbed fistfuls of hair. Kicking and pummeling, she wanted to inflict as much damage as she could. Nothing she did to him would ever be enough to pay him back for what he'd done to them all. He grabbed her in a bear hug and wrestled her to the floor where she lay pinned under him. Panting, she tried to wrench her arm free.
"Let go of me,"
she spat. Hatred, black as tar, and just as immobilizing, filled her heart.
"I will, just as soon as you calm down."
Blood trickled from his mouth, and a red lump formed on his forehead. "You've turned into a little spitfire. You're going to have to learn to obey me, Hannah. Just settle down. I knew you'd be upset once you saw her. She's cute, isn't she? Looks like you. Doesn't seem to have anything of me in her."